At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Civitas Institute, located at the University of Texas at Austin. And I welcome a research fellow at the Civitas Institute, Michael Toth, also with experience of general counsel of many years for corporations and litigation experience. But right now he's here to convince me, I don't need it, but I'm going to pretend, that the state of Texas is the future for the United States of America. Michael, a very good evening to you. Your piece entitled Escape from New York got my attention because I spent 50 years in Manhattan. I'm not there now, but I'm well informed of the troubles of Manhattan. You're quite right to point to a movie in the 20th century that won a lot of attention at the time, Escape from New York, because we didn't need to imagine that was the future. We thought it was the present. New York went through bad patches, and then it went through a really good patch from, say, about Giuliani time through Bloomberg time, and then it hit the bumps again. We know that, and they now have a mayoral election that's turning on worser in terms of a future. However, you have a Texas I want to celebrate. First, what is it about Texas that makes you so successful? Is there a formula, or is it just a lot of good people accidentally came together? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you too, John. It is a pleasure to be on with you. And so glad you saw the piece. So glad you liked the piece. To answer your question, Texas is about possibility and it's about supply. That was really the piece, the point that I made in the piece. You know, as I talked about the mayoral candidate in New York City, you know, I pointed out that there's been a lot of commentators who say, oh, Mamdani doesn't understand supply and demand. And as I point out in the piece, he understands demand. He understands demand real well. He's demanding free childcare. He's demanding free college tuition. He's demanding a laundry list of free items. I just wish, having spent some time in Manhattan when I was younger, that he would demand free parking. I might jump on that train. What he's not talking about, and this is the miracle of Texas, is supply. How do you bring supply to the market? Supply is a great wonder. When there's more supply, there's more competition for consumers. Prices go down, not up. And so we should be focused on the supply side of the equation. And that's what they're not doing in New York. They did it for a while, like you pointed out, under previous mayors. They've stopped doing it. They've turned it into a zero-sum, dog-eat-dog world. And people are going to find greener pastures. They've been doing that for decades now. And so in Texas, you know, again, we focus on how can we bring more supply, more products, more innovation, more choice to the marketplace. And that helps consumers. It also helps attract new residents to the great state of Texas. So that's our story. It's a story of growth, John.
Let's focus on one part of what New York City represents and Texas represents, housing. Housing is a bane of governments like the United Kingdom and Canada. They don't have enough of it. But in New York City, we purposely don't have enough of it. I lived in a rent-stabilized apartment for the first 20 years I was in New York as a writer. I didn't question where it came from. Since then, I've learned rent-stabilized apartments, mandated raises every couple of years by a board, are the reason that apartments are so expensive, are the reason there's not enough housing for everybody, are the reason there's no affordable way to live in Manhattan. In Texas, you had the same problem until you saw the light. What did you do different that freed up the housing and meant that property values, which were climbing astronomically, have slowed?
100%. We built more houses. It's pretty simple, John. And the funny thing about Texas, you know, if you look at it, it's got several of the largest cities in the United States of America are all in the state of Texas: Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio. Watch out, it's coming in the rear view mirror. Fort Worth, Texas is going to be a top city. Just give it time. The trend is our friend on the population side. And so we've got several large cities all in the same state, and they're almost competing with each other as to who can build more houses. I mean, obviously, Dallas and the Dallas suburbs have been an incredible growth story in terms of building out new places for the American dream to be realized. There's a big piece in the Wall Street Journal from this past weekend about how Dallas is pushing up almost towards the Oklahoma line. In Austin, we actually expanded the housing supply, both in terms of apartments as well as single family homes, more than any city. This happened under the current Democrat mayor of Austin, Kurt Watson. So it can be done, John. It's a policy choice, right? And I'll tell you something. I'm a homeowner in Austin. More supply, that hurts homeowners. But guess what? It doesn't matter. It helps people who are looking to get into a home for the first time. It helps on affordability, right? And so that's a policy choice. And, you know, if you look at the rent control problem in New York, I mean, what the mayoral candidate's doing, again, this is a focus on demand, not supply. He's demanding more rent, stabilized apartments. You demand more of that, you're not going to get supply. Okay, and we're going to be left with the same affordability problem that New York City's had for decades now.
There is the talk that this is a product of policy at the national level. I believe you cite the president of a very important bank calling it blue tape. There's red tape and there's blue tape. You've already challenged that metaphor by mentioning that Kurt Watson of Austin is a Democrat. So there goes the argument that it's one party or another. However, I do note, because this just came, Michael, you hadn't seen it yet. Believe it or not, in the Pacific Palisades, which is one of the primary pieces of real estate in the solar system, now burned to the ground thanks to, well, fill in the blank. In any event, the governor of California, whom we know is running for president, and good for him, he's Hollywood's version of a president, he is proposing $101 million for affordable housing in Pacific Palisades. Don't you love this, Michael? This is the idea of expanding housing. He's going to drop in a mandate from Sacramento, encouraging no one to rebuild.
I saw that. I know, you know, under his time as governor, you know, every time California tries it, they layer on so many restrictions and rules and box checking exercises that has to happen. They don't actually get affordable housing. They may get a little bit of housing, but by the time they're done with all their bureaucracy, it's not affordable. And John, just to circle back to the blue tape point, yeah, those are the words of Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan Chase. Jamie Dimon has been very direct. I mean, he's calling it blue tape because he's basically saying, look, it comes from, you know, these highly ideological, no practical experience, city councils and legislatures that come from, you know, areas that are 1,000% blue. Now, to your point about Austin, the mayor's a Democrat, but what he was cutting through was blue tape from the Austin City Council and from, you know, the more progressive side of Austin that had run the city before him. So I think his example does prove out Jamie Dimon's point that, you know, Republicans, Democrat, whatever the party affiliation of a mayor is, they've got to look at these, you know, supposedly well-intentioned rules and really ask, what is the effect on working people of these rules? Is it making their lives easier or is it making it harder? Are we losing people or are we gaining people as a result of these rules, these mandates, these regulations, et cetera? And he's definitely done a great job of let's ease the supply constraints so we can get more rather than less on the housing side.
My understanding is that there's one magic turn that Texas used and that Florida's using and that other states are considering, which is zero income tax for the state. Is that what made people cross the line to Texas? Is that why you charge more for a rental from California to Texas than you do from Texas to California? Is that why?
It's certainly helping. I know it takes, I mean, California's got the weather. I mean, it takes a lot to get people to not want to live in weather conditions like that. I mean, you got to try hard to lose population, which they finally managed to do. But no, I think the pro-growth tax policy of Texas, treating everybody the same, you keep what you earn. That obviously is a big driver. We've seen that story play out well in Florida. We've seen that story play out well in Tennessee and other states. So I think that's a big part of it. You know, Texas doesn't rest on its laurels either, too. I mean, it's always looking to build on the successes of the recent time. And so, you know, we've gone through some property tax reform, trying to make that system more taxpayer friendly. And also, we talk about this in the piece, Escape from New York, the Civitas piece that you mentioned before. You know, we're building out some extremely pro-business company rules to try to get companies to, and this is the punchline, you saw this in the piece, John, to list on the up and coming Texas Stock Exchange. This is the coolest thing. They're going to be ringing the bell in Dallas on this new exchange. Plans are for 2026. I can't wait to see it.
Sign me up, Michael. I had no idea. I don't think New York knows about this yet. Good heavens. If you can clear through Texas, you'd actually want to live where your money is. And as opposed to right now, New York City as a financial center is a dream, but you don't want to live there. Or at least my position is I don't want to live there. It's not
friendly. How can we have socialists ruling the epicenter of the financial universe, right? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And so, yeah, the Texas Stock Exchange, I'm delighted to have a chance to just update your audience. It's really the coolest thing. James Lee, Jim Lee, is the founder of it. He's a longtime leader in the finance industry. He's graduated University of Texas. And, you know, what Jim is really talking about when it comes down to the stock exchanges is the same story that we're talking about when we think about New York, right? And just the problems of government created scarcity, right? And what's happened on this, on the public stock exchanges, and this is a real deal. I'm going to spend a second on this for your audience. You know, if you look at the number of publicly listed companies, the number of companies that retail investors, mom and pop investors can go, you know, through a broker and purchase their shares on a public exchange, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, the number of companies that fall into that universe is down. Not up. It's down 45% from its high. You know, the Wilshire 5000 no longer has 5,000 companies in it. It's called the Wilshire 5000 because when it was founded in 1974, I think it was, they had 5,000 names, 5,000 companies in that index, which is supposed to be the total market index. Well, guess what? It's down to 3,400 now. It was as high as around 7,000 in the year 2000, and it's lost almost half. And the reason for that is the rules, the mandates, again, the same issues that we see in terms of blue tape and public regulations that's causing companies to flee to greener pastures is also causing public delist. And more important, on a going forward, it's not inspiring privately held companies to want to go into the public market. So they're held by, you know, accredited investors, by private equity firms, et cetera. And the mom and pop investors have less supply, less choice, less options, not more. And so the Texas Stock Exchange, right? I mean, leave it to Texas to solve a supply problem, is trying to give companies a better capital markets experience. So in any case, all my investors out there who are listening, check it out. The Texas Stock Exchange, it has an application in at the SEC, which is pending right now. And we could be ringing the bell in Dallas. That's where it's going to be based as early as 2026. So watch out.
Michael Toth is a research fellow with the Civitas Institute and extremely well informed. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Michael to speak to the companies who are saying, really, do I want to move there? How do I do that? And Michael's recommendation for the steps you take to move your location, as did Elon Musk, from California to Texas, as did Oracle from California to Texas. I could go on. This is CBS Eye on the World with the Civitas Institute of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.